Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of the Legends of Sport podcast. I'm your host, as always, Andy Bernstein. So I'm sure it's fair to say that if you had a pulse and you're a sports fan, you probably watched the World Cup final game between Argentina and France. I think that's safe to say. Some are saying that it was the greatest World Cup final in history and perhaps the greatest soccer game ever played. The man who called that game to the world is our very special guest on this episode, Hall of Fame broadcaster Andrés Cantor. He's known throughout the soccer world as the man with the iconic goal call. He's also a native Argentinian, which brought out all kinds of emotions for him when Argentina prevailed and won the game on penalty kicks. I have to say, my house was insane throughout that game, and we're still exhausted. Andrés was so gracious to chat with me on this episode. We have a lot in common in life and in the journeys of our careers. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you enjoy this conversation with the legendary Andrés Cantor. And as always, I'll see you on the backside. Well, welcome, Andrés Cantor, to the Legends of Sport podcast, man. I can't tell you how special and wonderful this is for us to get together. You're just getting off a plane from Qatar, right?
That is right. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my God. Well, we have a lot to talk about and not a lot of time, but I got to tell you, we have so many parallels and cross connections here. My kids go to San Marino High School where you went, right? Uh-huh. Born and raised. My daughter plays soccer there. My son was on the newspaper where you worked. My wife is Argentinian from Rosario. So I got to tell you, man, as an honorary Argentinian, we were going nuts on Sunday, as you can imagine. I think I sent you the video of the celebration in our house, which was off the chart.
I saw it.
Yeah. So most importantly, I want to find out about you and how you started and your journey. You know, Legends of Sport, over 6 years, my friend, we've interviewed some amazing people, and everybody has a story. Everybody has a beginning where they started, sort of a pivotal moment in their life, right? I mean, obviously, I went through your bio. I tried to get as familiar as I could with you, but can you just kind of summarize, you know, how you ended up in the Los Angeles area, you and your family, and your journey into this Hall of Fame occupation that you have?
Sure. Well, my parents both were professional physicians. My dad, a gastroenterologist. My mom, a psychologist. They left Argentina during the harsh military junta days of the mid-70s. My dad received a scholarship at UC Davis in Sacramento, and then moved a year later to Los Angeles to start a private practice and worked as chief of staff of the Huntington Memorial Hospital. Ended up being chief of staff after many, many years. So I grew up basically, you know, in LA, attended San Marino High my senior year. I don't want to say I was the best soccer player of the team. Soccer was just beginning as a sport in those days.
Yeah,
I became the sports editor of the newspaper Titan News.
Right.
It was crazy, Andrew, because I played in the matches and wrote you know the reports of the game with my bio by Andrés Cantor, and then you know the best player on the pitch was Andrés Cantor.
That's hilarious.
It was kind of weird.
Right.
But you know, I always knew I wanted to be a journalist. So my lucky break really came in February of 1987 when they called me for an audition at SIN, the old Spanish International Network, or what later became Univision. I had never set foot in a TV studio before, and the person who ended up hiring me called me and said, you know, I have great referrals from you. I had been working for a while as a correspondent for a big sports magazine in Argentina called El Gráfico, which is huge. So, you know, they had seen me around, you know, boxing matches in Vegas, the friendly matches in L.A. And the guy tells me, I ask, you know, what's the audition about? And the guy says, well, bring two suits, two shirts and two ties. We're going to tape two games and they will air, you know, in the next couple of weekends.
Yeah.
I said, what? that's the audition. I mean, you're going to put me on air without knowing, you know, whether I'm good or bad.
Yeah, right.
I guess he did. Yeah. We taped the first game. I did color commentary. Took a break for lunch. I remember we went to a local Burger King. And in the middle of lunch, he goes, you know what? I can tell you know a lot about soccer, but... And then, you know, after the comma, I thought, you know, thank you very much. He was going to say, thank you very much, but I don't know, whatever. So he goes, but we're really looking for a play-by-play announcer because, you know, we don't have one.
Yeah.
Do you think you can do play-by-play in the next game? I was 23 and what was I going to say? Sure.
Yeah.
And I guess he liked my work in that second game because he offered me a full-time job within a couple of weeks.
Wow, that's fantastic. And who did you learn from? I mean, your job takes tremendous amount of preparation, you know, research. I mean, were you just winging it at that point? Or were
The first game, obviously, the first few months, I guess I was learning just on the go.
Yeah.
You know, I had the year, as you probably know, way back in my days in Argentina, we all listened to the old transistor radio. So I had the music to, you know, to the play-by-play.
Right.
Mostly of radio announcers.
Yeah.
But I had no experience whatsoever. So I just, you know, I guess I learned the trick of the trade by just, you know, repetition and doing it. And again, you mentioned the word research. You have to remember that way back then, research was very hard to get because there was no internet. There was no Google search. So I had to, you know, whenever I did games, I had to go to the international newsstands and find, you know, newspapers from all over the world and you know, clip, you know, the information that I needed. So I guess, you know, you could say I'm a self-taught play-by-play announcer.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I know that when you were growing up in L.A., in the L.A. area, and that you were privileged, as I have been, to be around some of the greatest announcers in sports in history, right? Chick Hearn, Vin Scully, Bob Miller. I mean, it doesn't get better than that, right? So how much of your style do you feel that you got from listening to those guys growing up? Because you talk about, you know, listening to Jose Munoz, I guess, in Buenos Aires, right. In Argentina growing up. My wife talks about how her dad would be washing the car and listening to the soccer matches, you know. But once you got to L.A. and you got to be around and listen to these incredible voices, I wonder how that influenced you.
I'm not sure it did. I did listen to Chick Hearn and Vin Scully, obviously. I liked basketball. I liked the way Chick Hearn called the basketball games. But, you know, it's a different language altogether. And I don't know if I have any influence other than the way, you know, Vin Scully put poetry into every broadcast. Chick Hearn, you know, had great lines that, you know, I don't know how he came up with those.
none of us do. Yeah.
But nothing that I do is, you know, pre-rehearsed or anything. Everything is very spontaneous. So obviously I like them a lot, but I'm not sure they, you know, they did influence part of my of my style.
Yeah, did you happen to listen to Jaime Harin on the Spanish broadcasting? I mean, yes. Jaime, you know, just retired 60 years with the Dodgers. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yes. Another San Marino resident, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I respect Jaime a lot, and it's amazing that Vince Coleman and Jaime could go that long in their careers.
Incredible. Yeah, I worked for the Dodgers for 11 years, 84 to 95, and it was just such a treat to be around those guys. You know, as it was with Chick, I traveled with the Lakers for many, many years with Chick, a character. I don't know if you ever got to meet him, but one of a kind, for sure. So, Andres, your famous goal call. I know everyone is asking you about this. I know you've been hit, like, with media requests up the wazoo, you know, since the end of the Cup final. How did it all start? You know, I read that it actually started in that Univision audition. Is that true? Or when did you break it out? Yeah?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, since you're half Argentinian now, you know that that is the way the goal call is called in every single broadcast, more on radio in my days.
Uh-huh.
But now everyone calls the goal call the same way I do.
Right. That's the best flattery, right? Is when they copy you. It's the best form of flattery.
I don't want to be arrogant and say, yes, it's flattering because I don't know if they're copying me or not. I doubt it. I mean, that is the way, the passion we have for the game, the way we feel for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did it the very first day in that audition, and it did catch Jorge Berry, you know, who was my boss and hired me.
Mm-hmm.
He did look at me and say, hey, you know, but then in Mexico, you know, he's from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how exuberant they were at that time. I have no recollection, but it did catch him a little bit by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I always say that I had another lucky break in my career in 1994 when the World Cup was played here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a before and after moment because of all the attention my play-by-play received in 1994. Even though ABC was carrying the games in English, everyone was tuning in to Univision. All the newscasts were showing my highlights and not ABC's. And even ABC sent one of their main reporters for the weekend news to do a color piece on me to Miami. So
yeah,
it was amazing.
That's incredible. You know, Alexi Lalas has a great quote. He said, quote, within that call, your goal call, it encapsulates the spirit and the emotion of the game of soccer. Right. So we all feel it. I wasn't born with soccer. I was born in New York. We played stickball and football and street hockey and a little bit of basketball. My career actually started in soccer. The old North American Soccer League was my first job, working for the LA Aztecs, which you probably remember. Played in the Rose Bowl in front of like 19 people. But
I was one of them.
Yeah, right. You know, and it was like the worst environment, terribly lit, you know, but that was my first break. And but I never understood soccer until I met my wife and I actually went to Argentina and I got to experience, I mean, to say it's a religion, I think, is understating it. I mean, people literally live and die by the sport. I mean, how do you explain that to Americans? I'm sure you've been asked this before. I can't answer that question.
No, neither can I.
Yeah.
I'm sure that everyone that is around the game saw the pictures and the videos of the team parade that had to be cut short because there were 5 million people, you know, in the city and the bus couldn't move anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw
one of your tweets about a couple of dudes jumping off a bridge into the bus. You know?
Yeah, well, one of them made it, the other one fell.
Oh my God.
And then but then this is the thank God he's okay, so I can tell this story. There's another video of the guy that hit the bus and fell onto the street.
Oy.
There's a video when they're carrying him on a stretcher to the ambulance,
yeah,
he's going like this, singing the song that, you know, that we are the champions.
Unbelievable.
And then, you know, another part of the story is that the players had to be evacuated into three helicopters to do a fly around. Yeah. And it's the only country in the world where you have 5 million people staring at the sky at three helicopters because obviously you can't see the players.
Unbelievable.
It's like, it's unbelievable.
No, I mean, the team lands at like 2:30 in the morning. It's on national TV. I mean, it just blows my mind. I've been to, I don't know how many parades, Laker parades. I've been to all of them since, you know, the 80s. And, you know, it's a pretty good sized crowd that shows up. There's like 5 million people showing up at a constant party in the middle of the summer. I mean, how could you ask for anything more as an Argentinian, right?
Very hard to explain to anybody else that is not Argentinian.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. It's Andy Bernstein. You may know me from my Hall of Fame career as a sports photographer. Well, just like you, we all want to take great photos of our sports, travel, or family. To take great photos, you need great camera equipment and a great store. Paul's Photo has what you need, and they have what I need. The team at Paul's Photo can help you choose the right camera and teach you how to use it. Paul's Photo. Call them at 310-375-7014 or find them 24/7 online at paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, your local camera store, no matter where you live. I want to go back to that moment when, first of all, that game was absolutely insane. I mean, I've been to some pretty incredible games, you know, Kirk Gibson's home run, Game 7s of the NBA Finals. I've covered 40 NBA Finals. I've seen a lot, right? But I, you know, I was feeling it emotionally. And my wife and all our friends and my mother-in-law is visiting from Rosario. I mean, it's like, was wacky. But you have to do your job, right? Like, people ask me this all the time. You know, it's high-tension moment, pressure. There's a lot going on. There's the last, you know, Kobe takes a last second shot in the NBA Finals. I mean, the last thing I can do is watch that happen, right? You have to watch it. You have to report on it. You have to be coherent, right? Which you were. You know, go back to that moment. What did, you know, I saw your Today Show interview. You were very eloquent about it. But, you know, just like reflecting now after a couple of days, how can you view that?
Well, it's... I would add to your very good description that I have to try to choose the right words while I'm doing a very intense, emotional play-by-play of a final of that kind.
Right.
I'm going to share with you something that even though Argentina's already the world champions, it still gives me chills. And I expressly went, you know, as soon as I got home, I did not watch the entire match. I watched like 20 minutes of the first half in between the two goals. I wanted to see how they were.
Yeah.
But I went expressly to, you know, I fast forwarded to the minute 122.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember vividly, and it gives me chills, honestly.
Yeah.
I was processing the Argentina loss when I see Colo on a breakaway, one-on-one, the big goal, and the Argentine goalkeeper. I'm saying, we're going to lose this. I'm dying inside, and I am mentally preparing my biggest goal of the entire tournament, because if it would have gone in, end of game, France would have been world champion.
Right.
And then suddenly, in my play-by-play, I say, France is going to win it.
Really?
And then Martinez with his left foot or whatever, leg.
His toe, yeah.
Makes a miraculous, miraculous save. And it was just incredible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, overtime came and we go up 3-2, Argentina goes up 3-2, and they tie it, you know, with 6 minutes. And then the penalty shootout, it's always, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot, right?
It's a lottery.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to be as composed as I could until Montiel put his foot on the ball. And I saw which way it was going, because even though I had the sense, and everyone knew that if he converted the PK, Argentina was a champion. If he did not, France had another chance. So I had to be, you know, cool down and collected for the next play of the PK. So when he converted the penalty, I just couldn't hold it anymore. It was just like...
You probably wanted to like rip off your headset and just run around the press box, you know? But I could imagine just like... Because I saw you got up, you got down, you're grabbing your partner. It's like... But you're still on the air. You're talking to tens of millions of... Hundreds of millions of people. So doing your job.
You know that my goal is very... very upbeat. Here, it wasn't a goal goal. Yep. It was, you know, a penalty.
Yes.
And then, you know, the end of the World Cup, crowning a new champion.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, I had some emotional involvement in it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone knows that.
Of course. I'm
from Argentina, that I die for my national team and for my team, Boca Juniors.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, whatever happened, happened.
So let me ask you this. How do you possibly top that in your career? I mean, you know, you've done this a long time. I mean, you're still doing, I mean, I read you do like 120 games a year, which, you know, at the peak I was doing about that many, but I've tailed back a lot in my career, and we're about the same age and been doing this a long time. I mean, how do you get ready for next season after this unbelievable experience?
Well, you know, soccer is my life. That is the truth.
Yeah.
I go back on air on Monday the 26th for Boxing Day on Telemundo and Peacock.
Hey.
So I'm not going to get too much of a break, not for now anyways.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward. It's going to be weird because usually after World Cups in the summer, you know, you have a lengthy break to process everything and to, like,
breath
voice, especially.
Yes.
Because it was grueling. It was really a grueling month because of everyone got sick over there.
Yeah.
But, you know what? How do I top it?
Yeah.
By yelling Argentina campeón in 2026.
So this is Argentina's third World Cup victory. You had this great reunion with your son in the press box. Do you think that you know, you'll be around to call the next Argentina World Cup win maybe 4 years from now, or who knows? You know, you think you
three and a half. The good thing is
three and a half. That's right, in the U.S.
Yeah, and we have North to America. Wait less than usual this time.
Yeah, that's gonna be. How's that gonna work, Andres? We couldn't figure it out. Like,
nobody can.
Three countries in North America, but yet the U.S. is kind of the host. Like, they're gonna have the final in the U.S.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, the three countries, it's not the problem because Mexico is going to have 10 games. Canada is going to have 10 games.
Right.
And all other games will be in the U.S.
Yeah.
The thing is that they still don't know what type of format they will have. If they're going to be groups of four, groups of three.
Yeah.
It's going to take them longer. There's a whole bunch of issues that I don't know that were very well thought out before committing to 48 teams, because you can't play five games in a day. You can't saturate, you know, the viewing public.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problems of the different time zones. You can't start a game at 12 noon in LA.
Right.
I mean, you can, but it doesn't do anybody any favor. So I don't know how they're going to do it. They're going to figure something out, but I don't know how.
Were you surprised at the amount of people who came to Qatar from Argentina? I mean, they chartered planes, and it looked like the entire stadium. I mean, there was a lot of people from France there, too, but it looked like it was blue and white, like three-quarters of that stadium.
I'm pretty sure that many came from Argentina, many from the U.S.
Yeah.
Argentines that live in the U.S., I know a whole lot.
Yeah,
that live around Europe, but that goes to show you what soccer means in Argentina. I was really surprised that France only had no more than 3,000 people in that final. And
yeah,
they're 5.5 hours away to get from Buenos Aires to Qatar is, you know, almost 21 hours.
It's great. And the commitment that you, if you're going to go for the whole tournament, you got to go for a month, which is like nuts.
Yeah.
You know, you
gotta, I'm sure there was turnover of people. I don't think there was the same.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that, you know, I always get asked the same question by my friends, family, mm-hmm. when they have to book tickets to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, they tell me, I can't go the entire month.
Yeah.
When should I go? And I tell them, you know, it's up to you. If you want to make sure you get to see Argentina, you have to go in the first round mm-hmm. and the round of 16.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. If you can stay, stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least you're, you know that you're going to get to see Argentina. If you book your tickets and buy tickets from the quarterfinals on to the final,
mm-hmm.
we might not make it. I mean, yeah. this is a very harsh competition. So you're going to get to see Morocco play Belgium.
Yeah.
And unless you're a diehard soccer fan coming from Argentina 21 hours away, mm-hmm. I'm not sure you're going to want to stay. So that is the big question.
Well, I'm sure there's not a lot of love lost for the Brazilians who all had to go home early. So,
I'm pretty sure that there were, I mean, with Brazil or with Argentina, you can make plans, I guess, that they're going to, you know, be around in the last week of the tournament.
Yeah.
So I am pretty sure that many Brazilian fans had tickets and did not make it to Qatar because they probably returned them.
Yeah, incredible. Well, Andres, I can't thank you enough, really. And please thank Eva for helping to make this interview happen today. Super special for me to talk to you. I told my wife, and she like threatened to come here and listen to the interview. Said, I'll, you know, stay at work. I will send it to you afterwards. So you're a hero in our house, of course, but congratulations to you and all my Argentinian friends. And I hope we get a chance to meet sometime. You are welcome at our house anytime in San Marino. I think you know how to get around.
Yep.
And she makes a great paella, by the way, which, of course, you guys call paella. I figured that out. But I wish you all the best, my friend. And I hope we get to meet in person. I hope maybe we'll go see a World Cup game, you know, in 3.5 years from now. Be amazing.
At the Rosewood, nearby.
I know. That would be a full circle for me because that's where it all started. So
that's great. Well, but, thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And I know this is going to air afterwards because I know your birthday is tomorrow, but happy birthday. I know it's a big one. So welcome to the club, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, take care and get some rest.
I will try.
Thank you, Andres. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you.
Wow, how amazing to connect with soccer broadcasting legend Andres Cantor just days after his native Argentina's historic World Cup victory. Many thanks to Andres and Eva for making this interview happen today. Much, much appreciated. Remember, everyone, you can find us on the iHeart app and online, as well as Apple and Spotify and your favorite podcast platform. Keep following us on Instagram at Legends of Sport, our Twitter at Legends_of Sport, our website, legendsofsport.net, and of course, our YouTube and TikTok channels, Legends of Sport. My photography can be found on Instagram and Twitter at ADB Photo Inc. So thanks, everyone, for continuing to support the Legends of Sport podcast. Remember to rate and review and tell all your friends. We'll be back next week with another great guest and episode. Until then, stay safe, stay well, and Happy New Year to everybody.